And so we'll record, and the audio will be on the website this afternoon if you want to listen to this again and put you through that kind of torture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read the whole chapter. And then I won't preach as long as I usually do. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech and of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Paul looked ahead into Washington, D.C. See? He said, the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. And we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, and the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, thank God, but the Spirit who is from God. And that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God, these things we also speak. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. I want you to notice that. Nor can he know them, notice that, because they are spiritually discerned. Notice that. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I want you to notice that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. For we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But we walk by faith, not by sight. I want to say that again. But we walk by faith, not by sight. Now we can add to sight feelings. Amen. Hello? Amen. We can add to sight what other people say. Amen? We can add to sight the internet. Amen? We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you the opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. He's talking right there to the evangelical world today. How many boast and get all uppity about what they have in ministry? That's not important. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. And if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, then those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We don't know God according to the flesh. Amen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I like the New King James, and I like the ESV translation of this, because it uses new creation rather than new creature. Creature is a being. Creation is everything that accompanies the creature and the being. So when he says I am a new creation, he means my thoughts, he means my body, he means my future, he means my past, and he means my present. Everything is new. I flipped over a new page. Amen? All things have become new. For all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to notice that. That is that God, who is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What are we? Ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. May God bless his word. Amen. And the reading of the word. I'm going to get rid of this because I don't need it, because I'm not live streaming and my nose is running and my feet smell. So I need to be blowing my nose and it won't sound good. Amen. Amen. During church, the preacher asked the people in line, he decided to have a prayer line, what they needed prayer for. So he had preached on healing and he said, we're going to pray and anoint with oil all those that need to be healed. And he made a prayer line. One man came up and he requests prayer for his hearing. The evangelist took his finger and put oil on it and put oil on both fingers and stuck them in the man's ears, and he prayed for him. And then he said, now how's your hearing? And the man replied, I don't know. It's not until next Tuesday. Evangelism. Evangelism comes from the Greek word euangelion. And I don't know if I pronounced that right, but you know it's Greek. Amen? And it simply means sharing. That simply means sharing good news. An evangelist is one who does evangelism. An evangelist is one who does evangelism and one who shares God's loving stories with others. Now let me stop right here and say the thesis of the teaching this morning is that we all are evangelists. Hello? We none of us escape that task of evangelizing. See? Now how in the world are we supposed to be happy in evangelizing? Well, that's what I want us to do. I want us to be happy in evangelizing. I want us to share Christ and be happy in sharing Christ. It's amazing to me how a new restaurant will open up and people will go to that restaurant and the food's fantastic and they love the restaurant and everything, and they can't help but spread the word all around. Yeah? You've got a mechanic and he's good. You let people know how good he is. Right, Jenny? Yeah. Yeah. You find someone that knows what they're doing in this day and age when everybody says they know what they're doing and few people actually really do know what they're doing. Right? You spread the word around and you let people know. And it's mind-boggling to me how we have Christ and yet we are so reticent and so embarrassed to share him who has actually changed us and changed us for the better. Amen? You know, sometimes it feels terrifying, downright weird, to talk to others about God. They call us, remember what they, when they used to call us Jesus freaks? Yeah, because that happened during the charismatic movement and during the Jesus movement when people got so excited about God, they just were telling everybody. Oh, that would happen again. Amen? Amen? Now, Jesus freak is not meant to be a compliment. I'm not an evangelist, many are thinking. Evangelists are people who have slicked down hair and white suits and southern accents, and they tell you to send them $100 and God will give you $1,000. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to inform us about what the Bible says about us being evangelists. There are people who work, for the greatest telecommunication company on earth, the kingdom of heaven. Amen? They are people who go to soccer games. Hello? And instead of shooting somebody or stabbing somebody when they take their seat from them, they compliment them and share Christ with them. They're office managers. They're spaghetti cooks. They're dressed in jeans and sundresses and wool sweaters when it's cold. They're people with a story. They're people with a story. Their life has been changed. They've been zapped by God. And they live on two planes. They live on a vertical plane and they live on a horizontal plane. They've experienced the gentle thunder of the glory of God. And they want to share that. There are people who want to share the change they have experienced with others. I got encouraged when I first met Rich. And he said to me, almost the first thing he said, I've been sober now for X number of years. He was happy about the change. And then he added, by the grace of God. So he had been changed by the grace of God. We want to share the change with others because we know it will make a difference in their life. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21 talks about the powerful, powerful discomfort that comes with evangelism. And I want to unpack this a little bit this morning and help us understand. There's a formula that can be condensed into three actions. Action number one, use your glasses. Amen? I take these off and I can't see anything. I can't tell whether Joel is sitting there. I know he's sitting there because I had my glasses on before, or he's Paul or Paul's him. I just don't know. My eyesight's so bad. But use your glasses. Put your glasses on and use them. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we see things differently. Hello? Now, this is the big problem that we have in telling people about Jesus, because if we just use the Word of God, they won't see it. Are you hearing me? They won't see it. They'll hear what you say, but it won't matter to them. Why? Because they do not have the Spirit of God. It's by the Spirit of God that we know what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of God that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Anybody been tired with your mind? Mine doesn't work the way it used to. Amen? You don't know how many times I walk into my house and I say to Leah, "I've got to go to the store," and I walk out, get in my car, and I don't have my cell phone. I really hate these things. I really do. It was great when they didn't exist, because I could walk out of the house and not forget anything. Now I walk out of the house and forget my cell phone and forget my head. That's why they're called smartphones. I need one to be smart. Amen? We have the mind of Christ. See, we don't see things with a human viewpoint. If you do see things with a human viewpoint, let me encourage you, get into the Word of God, get to the altar, pray, and ask God to change that viewpoint. Because if we view things with a human viewpoint, we'll concentrate on the here and now, and that won't do us any good. It says we concentrate on what we have in glory, that everything gets into perspective. Otherwise, it's all warped. See, we'll look at the surface, and we judge by what we see. Huh? We're like teenage boys seeing a pretty girl. All we see is a pretty girl. Right? We don't see anything else. And if we marry her because she's a pretty girl, we're going to be in trouble when she's 70 years old, because she won't be the same pretty girl. One came to me and he said, "You don't understand, Pastor. She's not the beautiful woman I married." And I said, "Have you looked in the mirror yet? You can't see your feet because of the belly that's hanging over your belt line. And you have gray hair and you're all wrinkled up and your nose is twisted and you think you're pretty?" See, we say, "I can't tell others because I'm not the pastor." How many of us have ever seen a shepherd birthing lambs? Have anybody been around a farm? Anybody been around a dairy farm? It's the farmer having the calves, right? No, who has the calves? The cows. Who takes care of the cows? The farmer. Who has the lambs? The ewes. Who takes care of the ewes? The shepherd. Right? And so someone said, "Well, that's what we hired the pastor for. He's supposed to fill the church up and make everybody come to church." No. Because the world expects the pastor to fill the church up. The world expects the pastor to tell them about Jesus. They don't expect you to. So it's more compelling and it has more importance and it has a bigger impact when you tell them about Jesus. Because that's who they relate to. Another one. "Or you don't understand, Pastor. She'll never accept because she really doesn't need God. She or he's a good person." Or maybe he'll be like Pharaoh. He'll have a hardened heart, so we can't tell him. They'll think I'm a fanatic. They'll think I'm weird. That's a human viewpoint. That's not the heavenly viewpoint. It's amazing. I was talking with James about it on the way to church this morning. It's amazing to me that we that have the message of the gospel and the truth sometimes hide it more than the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons do. I can't hide behind this because you can see right through it. They don't have life. They don't have anything. What they have will not take them to heaven. What we have will take us to heaven. What we have will heal. What we have will deliver. We ought to be more in your face than they are. They haven't come to my door since I moved here. I wish they would. I love it when they come. Because I confuse them all. And they get all bent out of shape. almost lead them to the Lord. I had one tell us in Millinocket when they were a Mormon couple and they lived below us and we lived on the third, they lived on the second floor. And they said, you know, you make it easy to want to become a Christian. I said, I'm not talking about a Christian. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they say, you make it so compelling. As far as I know, they didn't, but I made it compelling. See, now we have Christ's mind, Christ's vision, amen? Our bodies are temporary. This is temporary. I was talking with Marlon Castro this week, and he was talking about this and that, and I said, I don't pay attention to that, because this is temporary. This doesn't matter. This will die and go to nothing. What lives forever is the soul and the spirit. Amen? For we know, 2 Corinthians 5:1, that if our heavenly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Hallelujah.
See, heaven is my ultimate destination, and I want to drag as many with me as I can.
Amen.
Amen? We sang an old chorus, heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, for heaven is a wonderful, heaven is a glorious, heaven is a marvelous place.
Amen.
See, we need to understand, heaven's our ultimate destination, for in this we groan. Verse 2. Earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is in heaven and from heaven. See? So if we fear God, why aren't we persuading others? Listen, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. See, there were two things that motivated the apostles. They won the whole then known world for Christ in their generation. And these two things forced them and impulsed them and kept them going. The fear of the Lord and the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't have one without the other. Hello? They feared the Lord. But we are well known of God, and I also trust are well known in your consciousness. So, you say, how? Well, here's some practical suggestions. Resolve to think of heaven and your own death one day. Someone said to be heavenly minded is to be no earthly good. How many have heard that one, right? But that's wrong. To be heavenly minded is to be more earthly good. Because then things won't matter here, things will only matter there. And I keep my perspective. That's where we're headed. This is temporary. This doesn't last. Hello? I was looking for a new pair of tires for my truck. So I went to my neighbor's place, because he has a lot of tires, and he showed me four. And they're Falcon tires. They're not Bridgestone. They're not Michelin. Those are the tires I like. They're not the name brand tires. They're Falcon. Whether they're good or not, I don't give a rip. Because I know they're temporary. See how things change? I know they're only going to last 50, 60,000 miles. So why get all bent out of shape over the name brand? Right? I bought a new pair of shoes when I was down to the outlets. See? And these are expensive shoes, but they were real cheap. And my wife says, you know, why don't you get a better pair? No, I don't need a better pair. These are okay because I'm going to wear them out anyway. Hello? Because unfortunately, I don't have the benefit of the people of Israel. 40 years in the wilderness, and their clothes didn't wear out, and their shoes didn't become old, and all the women groaned. Okay? Okay? Number two, do not ever be critical of anyone until you can think of three things to bless them with. Hello? Don't be critical of anyone, even when they're driving bad, until you can think of three things to bless them with. Right? Number four, get a clear picture of who Christ is. Take a journal and go through the Gospels and write down every characteristic you see of Christ. Make a list. Get to know him. Read the biographies of the saints. Not the ones the Roman Catholic Church has proclaimed a saint, because they don't matter. The real saints of the Word of God. The Old Testament ones, the New Testament ones. Right? And then ask yourself the question, what in the world is wrong with my eyes? If my perspective's not correct, what is wrong with my eyes? Do some self-reflection. Hello? How many know that is a wonderful thing to do? It's just easy and you love it to death. It's the hardest thing I ever do. Things go wrong, I look at Bill Peer first. What did I do wrong? You see, because back when I was a kid and immature, I looked at others and saw what they did wrong. Now I look at myself and say, what did you do wrong? Because what you did must have incited some kind of response in them. We have this in Spanish. There's a couple things I hate in the English language. I hate the word like. How many know what I'm talking about? You can tell the young people today, I prohibit you from using the word like, and they cannot talk. They cannot talk. How are you like today? Like I'm doing like fun. Like let's go to the game. Like it's terrible. And then you know. And then you know. I hate you know. Yeah, yeah. People will say to me, Pastor, yeah, you know? No, I don't. I'm stupid. That's what I respond. I'm stupid. So in Spanish, we have the same thing. We don't have like, but we do have you know. ¿Me entiende? Do you understand me? And most of the cultures say that on a regular basis. They'll tell you something, and then they'll say, ¿Me entiende? Now, let me help you understand something. When I speak, it's not your responsibility to understand me. It's my responsibility to make myself understood. So in Spanish, I say, ¿Me explico? Do I explain myself? Because it's none of my business whether you understand me or not. It's my business whether I make myself understood. Hello?
You know what I'm saying?
I hate that too. Don't you, Jose? You know what I'm saying? No, no, I'm deaf. I never heard a thing. And the response you get is incredible. When you tell people that, the response is incredible. It's interesting to do an exercise and practice it in evangelism. Waitress comes up to me in a restaurant. Caroline's been with me. And she said, can I get you anything else? And my response is, immediately, money. And you get all kinds of different looks. But a better response would be, I don't need anything. Do you need something? May I pray for you? Do you know every time I've done that, I've never got a no?
Yeah.
Ever? And I've done it hundreds of times? You see, we think that people don't like the gospel. When we know they're born with a hollow place in their soul. How many know that? And they try to fill that hollow place with everything you can think of. Sex, booze, cigarettes, money, power grab. They try to fill it, and you cannot fill it with that. It can only be filled by the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
And we have the Spirit of the living God. We need to share Him with others. Are you hearing me? Action number two, use your wings. Can you flap with me? Use your wings. Some of the greatest stories that I love to go through are the old stories about the old timers way, way back trying to learn to fly and think they could fly. You know, they paste feathers to their arms and think that they're going to be able to fly. See? Because of what Christ has done for us, we're different. We're different. Yes, we are. I told you the story. I got in a taxi in Bogota, Colombia. And we started going to the destination I wanted to go to. And we were talking about the soccer games. We were talking about the weather. It was raining. We were talking about the cracked sky. That's what they call Bogota, the cracked sky, because it rains all the time. And we got to a light, and he turned around and he looked at me. And he said, "You're a preacher of the gospel, aren't you?" I said, "Boy, I need to be careful. I really need to be careful." He knew I was preacher without me telling him everything, and without me saying anything, and without me evangelizing, he already knew. Is our example before the world in which we live, at work, at school, wherever we are, is our example enough that what our conduct will not discourage what they think we actually are? I said to the Lord, after he said that in my heart, I said, "Oh God, help me. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't say or do anything that disparaged the name of Christ." Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Because we are the only Jesus many of them will ever see. We're the only gospel many of them will ever see. Look at what it says in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We are different. We have a different life. Stop trying to be like the world. Hello?
Amen.
I went to a church. We're going to repaint all this. But we're going to repaint it the same color as those walls. It's all going to be the same. Right, Caroline? That's what we're going to do. Yeah. But I went to one church and this was all black. I want to take these two lights out, down, and put them in the foyer. Get rid of that that we have in the foyer. And then we're going to put lights that just shine down from here. And these churches have the black pulpit, and then they have strobe lights and smoke and all this stuff. Yeah. And so I said to the pastor of the church, he didn't like what I said, but I don't care. I usually don't care whether they like what I say or not. How many know that's true? So I said to him, I said, "Can you show me in the Gospels, the four Gospels and the book of Acts, where Jesus and the apostles ever used the methods of the world to bring people to the gospel?" Because the strobe lights and the smoke, that's part of a rock concert. How many know what I'm talking about? That's not part of. Yeah. And so he looked at me and he says, "You're just too conservative." And I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." He didn't like that either. So I decided he wasn't going to like anything I say, so quit saying. Amen? You can't take what the world is and make it appealing and put the gospel with it and hope to win anyone. You can't do it. It's impossible. See, you look at the caterpillars. How many have seen a caterpillar? They're beautiful, aren't they? They're just gorgeous. And then they make a cocoon, and they come out of the cocoon and they're a butterfly. How many know that's prettier than the caterpillar? That's called they morphed into something different. We came to Christ and we morphed into a new creature. I like what Robert McGee said this. Let me read it to you. "Sometimes we base the things we do and the way we think, the way we act on false beliefs. We build our world and our lives around what others think." Hello? Now, I'm not saying this. This is Robert McGee saying this. So don't get mad at me. You can get mad at him. You can Google him. Find out where he lives. Amen? "What others think and what others have been told about us. We might believe. We must be approved. Oh, help us, Lord. By certain others to feel good about ourselves." The biggest problem with psychological therapy and with all this billion-dollar industry to make you feel good about yourself is because you're using others' opinion of you to make you feel good, and that never works. You know what I use? The book. Someone said to me one time, I know they meant it for an insult, but I don't give a rip. They said to me, they said, the problem is you're too sure of yourself and you like yourself too much. I said, yes. They didn't like that either. He goes on to say, God's way says your self-worth is equal to His truth about you.
Amen.
Your self-worth should be equal to what God says about you, not what others say about you. Our biggest problem is we pay too much attention to what others are saying about us.
Amen.
It should go right over our head. You say, well, Pastor, then you won't get any better. Yes, I will. I got the Word of God.
Amen.
And the difference is, this is positive. Do you know that all discipline and conviction of God is positive? It never makes you feel bad. It always makes you feel better. Yes. So he says, God's way is to bless you with every spiritual blessing. He chose you. He declared you to be holy and blameless. That's what you are. I don't care how you feel. Right? We walk by faith, not by sight. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you know about yourself. What God knows about you is vastly superior to what you know about yourself. Are you hearing me? He declared you to be holy and blameless. He adopted you. He redeemed you. He's forgiven you. He's made known to you the mystery of His will. He has sealed you with His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's Robert McGee in his book, Search for Significance. We are a new creature. See? Do you believe the lie that you'll never change? My mother-in-law, God rest her soul, I loved her to death just like a second mother. Jenny Hersey was her name. And she had a special relationship with me. And one part of me she did not like. When are you ever going to grow up? And my response was always the same. Never! I'm having too much fun. And she would say, you need to grow up. And it went right over here. Right over my head. I'm a new creature. God says, I like you the way you are. I saved you the way you are. He saved me when I was 10 years old. He baptized me in the Holy Ghost when I was 10 years old. He knew what he was getting into. Hello? He understood what he was in for. So I'm not going to believe the lie when people say, well, you'll never change. No, I've changed because I'm adapting myself to the Word of God. Now, my kids sang a chorus when we were itinerating. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just days to make the sun, moon, and stars, Jupiter and whatever, Mars. See, he's still working on me. See? Now, my big problem is, and your big, let me just preach to Bill Pierre. My big problem is that there may be parts of me that I actually like. Hello? And then I found out, and this is glorious, I hope it helps you as much as it helped me, that God doesn't obliterate the old. He uses the old as compost for the new. Anybody got a compost pail in your home? My daughter has a compost pail. She, you know what I'm talking about, right, Maureen? And put all the, you know, banana peels and lettuce and all that stuff in there, and then take it out and bury it in the ground, and it becomes incredible fertilizer that grows incredible plants. See? God takes what I was and uses it as compost for what I will become. Dead branches become fertilizer for a brand new tree. Glory to God. Now, you can decide this morning. You're going to believe the opinion of the eternal, all-knowing God, or you're going to believe the infinite, the wisdom of infinite, biased, self-centered beings around you, whose entire lives, when compared to eternity, are just a nanosecond. You decide. Are you going to believe what the eternal, all-knowing God says about you? Or are you going to believe the collective wisdom of finite, biased, self-centered beings whose entire life, when compared to eternity, lasts but a nanosecond? Well, here's some practical suggestions. Whoa, I got to hurry. Memorize the first 14 verses of Ephesians. And if you want to know how great they are, you can come to Wednesday night Bible study because we're studying them. Number two, trust God and be patient. Metamorphing into what God wants you to be is sometimes a long, laborious project. Action number three, tell your story. Use your story. My story is his story. History. H-I-S. What's H-I-S?
His.
And then S-T-O-R-Y. History. His story. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Where in reconciliation is there anything negative? Doesn't exist, does it? If I wrong you, and I realize I wrong you, and I go to you, and I am reconciled, I'm going to ask forgiveness, I'm going to correct what I did wrong, and the relationship's going to be restored. Reconciliation. It's all positive. There's not a thing negative about it. There's nothing negative about the gospel. It's all possible. It's all positive. You see, his story is what he's done for us. God doesn't expect you to memorize the word of God and then just quote it to people. That turns them off. He doesn't expect you to carry a Bible. There's a good one right over there. See? He doesn't expect you to carry a Bible around. Let me go get it. This is a little Bible. Now, you don't accept what I say, I'm going to hit you with it. How many know that doesn't work? That doesn't work. What they want to know is what God has done for you. It has an incredible effect. I've told you the story and I'm going to tell you again. Those who have heard it, just be bored. And those who haven't, be encouraged. I'm headed to the 10th grade. So that makes me how old? I don't know. 15, 16, somewhere around there. I'm headed to the 10th grade. I get on the bus in Barranquilla. I'm faced with a 30-hour bus ride from Barranquilla to Cúcuta, where I'll cross the border into Venezuela. I sit down on the bus, and I had bought the ticket with Copetran because they sold assigned seats. And I loved it. So I bought the ticket. I was the window seat right behind the driver. That's where I wanted to be. If he gets in an accident, he'll die, and then I'll die second. So it really didn't matter. He was going to protect himself, so he would protect me. So I sat down there, and the seats were just two on a side, four on a row. And a fella comes in. He's in his 20s, early 20s, and he sits down beside me, and he was obviously troubled. He had a bad look on his face. He was really sad. And so we headed out of the bus station, and we had to stop to get the ferry to go across the Magdalena River. And so that took about an hour as we sat and waited for the ferry and our turn to get on the ferry and cross the river. And so I introduced myself. That's what you do in Latin America. I'm Bill Pierre. How are you? And who are you? And he told me. Don't remember his name. And he said, I said, I'm headed to Venezuela to go to boarding school. And I said, where are you headed? He said, I'm headed to Cúcuta. That was the city on the border. And I said, yes, what do you do? He said, I'm a student at the University of Cartagena, and I'm about to graduate. And he says, I'm going back home to say goodbye to my family. Oh, are you going to the United States? No. I'm going to kill myself. It was just as though someone had poured a bucket of ice water over me. I turned my head to the window and I said, God, help me. And we crossed the river and we talked about other different things. And as we went down the road, I said to him, I said, you know, I feel sorry for you that you're so sad and things are so bad in your life. Let me tell you about mine, because God spoke to me and said, tell him your story. Tell him your story. I said, from the time I was 10 years old, I've been in boarding school 4 years. I leave in September, come home in December, leave in January, and come home in June. It's been that way for 4 years. I said, I've gone to a school where they think I'm weird and they call me things like demon possessed. And he looked at me. I wanted to get his attention. So I said, everything is bad. And everything was bad. They cut my sister's hair. She had hair down below her waist. And the dorm mother just cut it off way up at the top. And my father did nothing about it, didn't defend her. Said, this is the way things are. I said, it's very discouraging. I can't talk to my parents. I said, I'm living way away from my family here in Colombia. I'm headed to Venezuela to go to school, and I can't get a visa because I have residency in Colombia. Everything. I might get thrown in jail over in Venezuela. I don't know. And I just kept telling them how bad things were. God says, make it sound real bad. So I was making it sound real bad. Finally, he looked at me and said, well, yeah, you look happy. What happened? I said, in boarding school, in the Sierra Nevadas of Santa Marta, and we were going right by it at that time, and I said, up there, in the Sierra Nevadas of Santa Marta, I found a gigantic stone. Well, I'd call it a rock. It was the size of probably one-third of this sanctuary. That's how big it was, sitting right in the side. And when you climbed up around the hill, climbed up around the top side, the wind had hollowed and rain had hollowed a spot, and you could sit in it, and it was just like sitting in a rocking chair. It was beautiful. And when you sat in it, nobody could see you from anywhere. And I said, I had to start the electric light plant every morning at 5 o'clock. And so I would go up after starting the plant. I didn't have to be to breakfast until 6:30. And I would sit in that hollow spot, and I would read the Bible, and I would talk to God. God said, don't use prayer, use talk to God. And he looked at me. Talk to God? You can talk to God? I says, oh yeah, you can talk to God. It works great. And he would wrap his arms around me. You could feel him? Yeah, I could feel him. He would, and I kept using terms that he could understand, but that could draw him in, right? I said, he's a friend of mine. And all this time, I was never using God. I was never using Jesus. I was just using, I would talk to him. I used the pronoun, not the word, not the name. Finally, he said to me, who? I said, it's a friend. This friend is fantastic. And then I kept using the word friend. And this went on for over an hour. Finally, he looked at me and he says, can I know this friend? I said, oh yeah, I can introduce you to him. So now he's ready, right? I said, my friend is called Jesus. He said, what's his last name? That's what he immediately said. Because down there, Jesus is a common name, right, Jose?
Yes,
yeah. So they even give it to girls. So he said, Jesus. I said, no, Jesus, God's son. Oh, I know who he is. I said, but do you know him? See, I know him personally. And that's what's kept me going. See? He said, how do I meet him? I said, you ask him and you pray and ask him to forgive you. He said, I can do that. And he got out. We were in the first row. He got out and he kneels down right in the middle of the bus. And he looks at the rest of the passengers right there. And I said, you pray after me. And I'm hoping he's going to pray, Father, thank you for this day. Yeah. But I said, Padre Celestial. He goes, Padre Celestial. And the whole bus looks. Everybody is getting in their seat and they're looking. And I said, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And he said, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Lávame en tu preciosa sangre. Wash me in your precious blood. Everybody's looking. He gets up, sits back down, and he's a 100% total different person. Glory be to God. I never quoted one single scripture verse. I didn't quote one single scripture. I didn't even quote this one, a new creation. I didn't even quote that. I quoted no scripture. But he got saved. Whatever happened to him, I don't know. The rest of the trip was interesting, because I got questions asked all over the place because of what had happened. Listen to me. They need to know what you've been through. They need to know what he's done for you. They want to know your story. We then are workers together with him. Also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. I'm going to carry a big stick. You know what the big stick is? Reconciliation. The world needs to be reconciled. But that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. Now, how many know what an ambassador is? Now, the head of Homeland Security was just given the boot, right? And they transferred him to the ambassador to the United Nations. How many saw that? You know what the report is? That is an ascension for him. That's a better position for him. Why? Well, the ambassador speaks in the authority of the government he or she represents. Hello? So the authority we preach, my words and the way I told my story to this young man on that Copetran bus headed to Venezuela had nothing to do with my intelligence, had nothing to do with who I am, had nothing to do with my ability. It had to do with the fact that I just simply told him what Jesus does for me, and he was reconciled to God. Because behind my words was the authority of the government I represent. Are you hearing me? See? We're not bringing the message of war. We're bringing the message of peace. See? Now, storytelling can be messy and it can be costly. Some of those that told the story in the early church were killed for telling the story. It cost Jesus his death. It cost God the Father his son, Jesus. It cost Paul his reputation. It cost him his career and it cost him his physical comforts. But it's worth the cost, because there's no better, no richer way to live. Solzhenitsyn. How do you say that? Yes, thank you, Emily. I'm so glad you came. Amen. Not just because you brought the most beautiful baby on planet Earth. No. The most beautiful baby on planet Earth. Because I got one back here that's just as beautiful. And I got one back here that doesn't scream when I look at it. Like the previous one did. This is what he said. Now remember who he was, right? Listen to what he said. Not loving. Love is too costly. Not a dream. Dreams lead to disappointments. Not serving. Service is too messy. Died. Here's my life, Lord, undiminished, perfect and clean. And the Lord says to me, what life? I give what I have to God, that he might use it for his glory. I tell my story with passion. I tell my story with immediacy. Jesus is coming soon. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 6, 2. He says, Now, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold what? Behold what? What's that? Read that. Now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Now is the day of salvation. Father, we need your help. We need your help, Lord, in order for us to become your representatives, true representatives. You see, we don't want to be saved just so we can go to heaven. We want to be saved so we can take hundreds to heaven with us. We need your help in this. I pray you'll encourage your people. Lord, let the Holy Ghost fall on them in a new way, in a new baptism of your power, and a new baptism of undiminished proclamation of who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, we need you, Lord. Take us from this house, but not from your presence. Give us somebody we can lead to a saving knowledge of Christ this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. I am going to proclaim Christ. Will you join me? Let's proclaim him to a dying capital region. Amen. God bless you. Oh.